President Joe Biden has people in different places very concerned, not the least of which are parts of China, where persecution and slavery are daily occurrences. Salih Hudaier is a refugee from China, current prime minister of the East Turkestan government in exile. East Turkestan was annexed by China decades ago. He's been on the program before. Salih, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Good to be back.
So, all right, tell the folks what East Turkestan is and why maybe they've not heard of it. It's important for the geography lesson real quickly, please.
So, East Turkestan is the far northwestern region of what China, what is now known as China. The Chinese renamed it to Xinjiang, meaning the new territory, after they invaded and occupied it back in late 1949. It's where millions of Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples are being rounded up and sent to concentration camps, used as forced labor and such.
They're used for forced labor. They're used for organ harvesting. Now, if you look at a map of China today, of course, it doesn't say East Turkestan. How big of a piece of China is it? I mean, this is a huge chunk of ground, is it not?
Yes, it's roughly about one-fifth of the current territory of China. And this is, it's rich in natural and mineral resources, and this is why China has been seeking to colonize it and engaging in these atrocities for the past 71 years.
And you're part of the East Turkestan government in exile. You live or spend time in Washington. All right, so why your concern about a Biden administration and the possibility thereof? What are your concerns for East Turkestan?
So one of our greatest concerns is that, unfortunately, Vice President Biden, when he was part of the Obama administration, during those 8 years, these atrocities were occurring during those 8 years as well. I mean, it's been ongoing for decades, and they never spoke out against these atrocities. In fact, it was only with the Trump administration that our issue was being raised, by the U.S. government and by the international community. For the past, the Trump administration has effectively been the only administration to do something for the Uyghurs, such as, engaging in sanctions against Chinese leaders, signing in the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act into law, and raising our issue at the international fora.
So as you look at what's happening to the Uyghurs, I mean, they get a lot of attention, more than they used to. I shouldn't say a lot, but more than they used to, because of slavery, execution, re-education camps, because the population is Muslim, right? So therefore, the Chinese don't want Muslim populations. They want to change that, and forcefully, I suppose. So for Muslims and Christians and Buddhists and anybody in that part of the world, it's dangerous now, and the Trump administration has worked hard to try to get some inroads there, but it'll be much worse under a Biden administration. That's your contention.
We're definitely worried, especially given the Obama Biden administration's previous stance on the issue. Just yesterday you had the Henry Kissinger urge the Biden to restore a relationship with China to prevent a war. It was actually the Kissinger was the one who was the architect of making China into the beast that it is today. And if Biden does take his, advice and work, towards restoring relationship with China, this is going to have serious negative consequences on the Uyghurs, on the people in East Turkestan and Tibet, and more specifically, on the international community as a whole.
So how would you ever foresee a change? It's not like China is going to voluntarily give up territory that it has had in its possession since 1949, since Chairman Mao led the country into communism. How do you expect to exact a change that would make that possible?
Well, so the U.S. government needs to, you know, take the same measures that they took against the Soviet Union. I mean, the Soviet Union was very much like China, an empire which invaded and occupied other people's lands, other countries, and engaged in, you know, the same atrocities. They're both communistic entities. So engaging in measures, you know, economic and political measures to push back against China is one of the ways into achieving, you know, the freedom and restoration of East Turkestan, Tibet, and other occupied countries' independence.
It's a lot to deal with, Salih, and I appreciate you fight this fight every day. I assume you still have relatives that live in that part of the world. Do you ever see them? Do you ever have contact with them?
No, unfortunately, the last time I was able to contact with them was in July of 2017. Since then, I've had over 100 of my relatives that have been detained. Over 60 of them have been sent to, you know, prisons and given sentences from 15 years to life, or have already been killed, unfortunately, in the camps and the prisons. And the others, we're not really sure. We don't know what happened to them. Presumably, they are in the concentration camps, but we don't even know if they are living or if they are, unfortunately, if they have passed away.
Millions in that part of China or East Turkestan, they don't have the same privileges. They don't have the same rights as they do in other parts of the country. They're just basically there to, as you say, do the work, pay the price. Their organs are harvested. They're in re-education camps. They're in forced labor camps. It's a grim and dismal place to be under this leadership, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I mean, this is part of everyday life for our people, especially over the past several years. And the Trump administration had been very active, had been actively working to, you know, speak out and take action against these atrocities. And we're worried that, you know, if a Biden administration comes to power, they might, our issue might not be actively raised anymore.
Right. Salih Hudaier, greatly appreciate you being here. Refugee from East Turkestan, Xinjiang, and current prime minister of the East Turkestan government in exile in Washington. Thank you so much for being here again. I'm sure we will talk in the not too distant future. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. There you have it. So when you think you hear everything on the nightly news, there's a little lesson for you. You don't. So many things you don't hear about in different places. We do our best to bring you some different stories and different perspectives from a global view. It was annexed in 1949. It was an independent nation until 1949, annexed by the Chinese under Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao, and then forced into servitude for the rest. It's part of their 500-year plan, I guess. Still to come today, we're going to take you now to Georgia. We're going to get to those stories from Heather Mullins coming straight up. You want to see this. Georgia officials baffled by how many boxes of ballots they have, seemingly with no answers as to what the heck is going on. Don't go anywhere. It's the No Panic Zone. We'll be right back.
According to Fidelity Investments, Roth conversions are up 76% this year. So why the rush to Roth? With a volatile market and likelihood of future tax hikes, thanks to all the government spending, now is the time to take advantage of the lowest tax rates in history and start creating a potentially tax-free retirement. Financial advisors Bruce Van Hull and Mike Douglas can help you find out if a Roth conversion is right for you and build a plan that may lower the taxes you'll have to pay in retirement. Act now before taxes go back up. By working with financial advisors who understand all areas of your finances, including tax planning, call 517-317-6323. That's 517-317-6323. And online at mylifeplanfinancial.com. Investment advisory services offered through Stewart's Wealth Planning, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through Life Plan Financial Design, Inc.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.